Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the show, live and underway from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Glad to have you with us. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And we've got a Big Ten football schedule. We are taking a step closer to the regular season, to the start of college football, but with the announcement of a schedule which came out this morning, there was some confusion as to was the Big Ten still going to put out an updated football schedule today, this week, after the Rutgers outbreak, or were they going to put the pause on things even longer to continue to evaluate things. But they went ahead, came out with the schedule this morning. But this is just a quote from Kevin Warren. He's the fairly new Big Ten commissioner. He said this morning on Big Ten Network as part of the release of the schedule. Quote, there is no guarantee we'll have fall sports or a football season. So before we all get caught up and running that, okay, we've got a schedule, Indiana football is going to happen, here's the lay of the land, here's what the schedule looks like, we got a break for a minute because the Big Ten has been very clear in saying that this is the schedule we'd like to see happen, this is the safest way we think we can play it, by conference only and so forth. They've built in some bye weeks and some ways to collapse the season a bit if there need to be some games moved. But this is only a plan right now, much like all the conferences have basically said, in addition to the schedule, that this is just a plan for what we'd like to see happen. I'm not sure that anybody can predict or control or know exactly how all this is going to play out. There have been some concerning moments with positive tests. Rutgers is the Big Ten example. I think in the ACC you could look at Clemson and a few other programs. There have been some fairly decent size outbreaks just within teams, within voluntary workouts, which will not be as aggressive as fall camp or full practices or obviously games. So I say that as we talk about the schedule today, which we're going to cover here in just a minute in this opening segment, to remind you that, yes, it's great news. I love looking through the schedule this morning. I love seeing what the IU lineup looks like and looking at the week one games across the conference and seeing who the cross-division opponent for each team is going to be to round out their schedule. But it's just a plan for now. We've got to get there week by week, game by game, and I think we all know there are going to be some interferences of some sort along the way. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. We're going to spend a lot of time in our headlines today recapping the Big Ten schedule release from earlier today. We'll go week by week through Indiana's schedule if you've not seen it, coming up here in just a few moments. Also, a couple other things with the Big Ten schedule. They listed a very detailed plan on how this schedule was constructed, why it was constructed the way it was. Very interesting stuff, and we'll go through that coming up as well. We'll also take a look at some high school notes. I think it's very interesting, I don't know about you guys, to follow what other cities, school systems in Indiana are doing when it comes to sports. I also think it's very interesting to follow what other states are doing when it comes to sports this fall, football this fall. And there were a number of updates from various states, including Kentucky, across the country, and right in the state of Indiana yesterday. And so we'll cover all that and more in our headlines segment today. The show lineup is a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Also, you can check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered at Honey Baked Ham. Dine-in available, pickup available, curbside service. If you call ahead, it's available as well. at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I told you what we'd cover in the headlines. Later in the program today, the guest that will join us as we take a look at the lineup here today, we will have in segment number two, joining me, Dustin Dopierak, formerly of The Athletic, will join us today. We'll talk more about the Big Ten schedule. We'll talk a little basketball today with Dustin as well. And then later in the show, Matt Weaver is going to join us in that final segment today because he's the IU football expert, we call him on this show, from the Pigs.com website, and he's going to join us to recap IU's schedule and give his thoughts on the full Big Ten schedule release that happened earlier this morning on the Big Ten Network. That last segment with Matt today presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. That's the lineup for today, and let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The Big Ten schedule. Let's first start with IU and take a look at what's on the docket for the Hoosiers this season. They are going to open week one, September 5th, against Wisconsin. They are going to open at home week two, September 12th, and they will take on Penn State. That obviously will be a very tough game, especially early in the season, week two for the Hoosiers. Week three is another home game. Illinois comes to Bloomington. Week four is a tough one. A couple really tough road games to open the year. Wisconsin in week one. Week four on September 26th, it is at Ohio State. Again, a very tough game for Indiana. Week five is a bye week for the Hoosiers. That is the first weekend in October, October 3. And then Indiana gets back at it on week six, October 10th, with a road game at Minnesota. Then another big home game, week seven, October 17th. It's a home game against Michigan. Another home game in week eight, October 24th, against Maryland. Week nine, October 31st, a road game at Rutgers. Week 10, November 7th. That is a road game at Michigan State. A second bye week for the Hoosiers comes up on week 11. That is November 14th. And then Indiana will close the season on week 12, November 21st, to round out the regular season of play on November 21st. And I was interested to see, did they maybe move some of the rivalry games early in the season? Did they maybe open the season with an Indiana-Purdue or these protected rivalries in the conference? Because, A, they're really important games for fans and for schools and even for television audience, no matter what the actual crowds that can be at some of these stadiums and football stadiums look like. Also, a lot of these protected rivalries, basically all of them, are nearby. They're regional games. So instead of sending Indiana on the road to a Wisconsin or vice versa in that opening week, looking at some of the other week one games like Maryland to Iowa, Michigan and Purdue, that's fairly close. Michigan State hosting Minnesota. Instead of some of that travel, Rutgers hosting Nebraska. So Nebraska has to come all the way across to go up east to Rutgers. But instead of that, I wondered, would they play some of the protective rivalries the first week early in the season, A, to get them in, and B, because there wouldn't be as much travel involved. They could be all easy bus trips for the most part. But that's not the route that they've went. Like Indiana-Purdue, it's going to stay the last week as it traditionally is in the Big Ten Conference schedule each and every year. A couple other things about the schedule, and they've got a really cool graphic. It's like a table. It breaks it down every team by date in the season. You can take a look at it. But in addition to the schedule release this morning, there were a number of notes that came out alongside the schedule. The plan is for Big Ten institutions to play a 10-game conference-only schedule, including the nine current opponents and one additional cross-division game, which we obviously see as we go through Indiana's schedule. The schedule starts as early as the weekend of September 5th, with final games slated for November 21st to align with academic calendars. The 10 games would be played over at least 12 weeks, with each team having two open dates, and the schedule is structured to maximize flexibility, the Big Ten Conference said in its release today. Games can be collapsed into bye weeks, so let's say that there's an outbreak with a team that Indiana is going to play in the season. Indiana has two holes for that in their regular season. They have October 3 and November 14, but they also have a league-wide bye week that's been added, week 13, November 28th, which is in advance of the Big Ten football championship game, December 5th at Lucas Oil Stadium. There's a whole wide open week if we can make it that far, and there are some postponements or some teams that have to sit out, and it doesn't fit into a bye game earlier in the schedule. Again, each team with two bye weeks built into their schedule, there is a league-wide bye week at the conclusion of the regular season. Cross-division games are currently scheduled for all schools in Week 1 and Week 12. So Week 1, Wisconsin, that was originally on the IU schedule. Obviously, no question about that for Indiana, so no real surprise there. Also, the schedule can be constructed in a way that allows the season to start as early as September 5th, which Indiana is scheduled to play on September 5th, but also provides flexibility to move the season back to September 12th, 19th, or 26th through strategic sequencing that allows games to be moved to a latter part of the schedule. And basically what I think that means, if you've got two bye weeks for each team within the season, and you've got a week-wide bye week at the end of the season, that's 3 weeks. So technically you could bump everything back a maximum of 3 weeks and still get done by the December 5th date of the Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis. The other thing about the Big Ten Championship game, yes, it's still scheduled for December 5th, but the conference notes it could be moved as late as December 19th if needed. So there is, at least for a league-wide schedule like this, there seems to be a lot of flexibility and some really good planning by the Big Ten Conference. It also said in their release, teams can begin preseason practices on Friday, August 7th or earlier if permitted under NCAA guidelines related to first dates of scheduled competition. So hats off to the Big Ten Conference. They've not at all said this is a definite thing that's 100% going to happen no matter what. I think we understand that numbers and issues and outbreaks can determine if this season gets off the ground, if it happens in full, or if it's a partial season, or if we make it all the way through to a Big Ten championship game sometime in the month of December, which I know we all hope we do. But a lot of planning, a lot of room for movement, which I think is good. I think there will have to be movement based on what we've seen so far in major league sports with the MLB and with what we've seen with outbreaks during voluntary workouts this summer with many of these Big Ten college football teams. But that's the schedule. That's the plan right now for Indiana. And again, an interesting schedule for the Hoosiers. We'll break it down further a little later in the program with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com when he joins us. Also, a couple high school notes to pass along. Way up in the region, Northwestern Indiana, last night a school district voted to go virtual and cancel contact sports for the first semester of the 2021 school year, and that was the school city of Hammond, which is a large city in Northwestern Indiana. I can think of at least three schools in the Hammond high schools in the Hammond public school system that will be affected by this. And essentially, it ends their football season before it ever begins, with practices scheduled to begin on Monday. Tackling can begin in practices, as I understand it, on Thursday. But for the Hammond schools, they already know their seasons will not happen. The other question I had, with contact sports being canceled for the first semester, that basically takes you up just before, you know, Thanksgiving, heading into that first week of December. Could that possibly affect some early basketball games in that part of the state as well? But Hammond will not play football this year. At least the high schools in that school system will not play contact sports at all in the first semester of this 2020-2021 school year. Also, looking across the country, yesterday Minnesota voted to move football to the spring with a handful of modifications. It passed by a 13-5 vote, which is interesting there. Practices in Cincinnati, the Cincinnati public school system, kind of a big system, a lot like what we look at Jefferson County in Kentucky, right across the river in Louisville. It's a bordering school system to our state. They've got a lot of sports, a lot of teams, a lot of athletes and coaches under their control. So I find it very interesting what some of these guys do. We know JCPS for now is kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with sports as they are going to do online learning to start the school year for 5 or 6 weeks. But Cincinnati, they're going to allow their teams to continue to practice, but they are going to delay the start considerably of the high school football season as far as all Cincinnati public school goes. And in Kentucky yesterday, their commissioner of the Kentucky High School Athletic Association, this is something that I think makes a lot of sense. He sent a, quote, strong recommendation to all principals, ADs, and superintendents to shut down any off-season sports. Like in Kentucky right now, typically a couple days a week, you could go ahead and continue with basketball workouts and practices and wrestling and things that are winter and even spring sports. But he's asked that they be shut down as fall sports get underway between now and at least August 23. And I think it makes sense for schools even in Indiana to do this. I don't think Indiana out-of-season sports can work out until after Labor Day sometime in September. But what it does, it keeps more people off campus in the afternoon and the evenings than the actual athletes that are playing games and competitions right now. And I think it's probably a pretty smart thing. We'll see if Indiana follows suit. But really, right now, the least you can have in a gym or circulating in the training room or other common areas where kids are going to congregate or have to be at for any reason surrounding their sport, it probably makes sense to shelf that for now. It might actually help basketball and wrestling and sports down the line have a better chance of going if they are only at school when they absolutely have to be at school. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. A lot of crazy stuff we're talking about. Big Ten releasing a new schedule, lots of modifications, room for flexibility, high school sports across the country. It's going to look different from area to area and state to state. This is a different time when it comes to sports. And I think with college and high school sports, it's really going to affect things this fall and maybe even into the winter as well. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back to talk college basketball and football with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, or formerly of The Athletic. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak, formerly of The Athletic, is my guest. We have lots to talk about today, including a Big Ten football schedule release that came out earlier this morning and just all the wild and wacky things going on right now as we think we're getting closer to the start of fall and football sports at the college level. But who exactly knows right now, because things seem to change each and every day. Dustin, I want to start with something we haven't spoke about yet today on the program, and then we'll catch back up on some football. But yesterday, the NCAA had a very important meeting. It included their full council, Division I, Division II, Division III, and there was expected to be some discussion, maybe even a vote on action for fall championships across the board that the NCAA runs and manages and basically puts forth for Division I, Division II, Division III teams. But the NCAA really did not take any action. Instead, they've passed decisions down to each level individually, saying there's a big discrepancy, big differences between the various levels of Division I, II, and III. Perhaps the travel is different. Perhaps the location of opponents is more regional, especially at D2 and D3. But they are going to allow these fall championship decisions in fall sports and football to be made on a division-by-division level, which is very interesting. And really, we thought we might have some more guidance on what fall sports could look like at the college level. Now it's kind of another holding period.
Yeah, no, I mean, the can continues to be kicked down the road, and for good reasons, because I think everybody's just hoping that, that something clarifies it. But, I mean, I think that was already sort of heading in that direction. So as much as the NCAA is really getting out of the way to the point that it's like, okay, are you guys going to do anything here? Are you guys going to have to make any kind of decisions to create any kind of uniformity? But in the same way, especially splitting it by division sort of makes sense, because you're already having a lot of these conferences at smaller levels canceling fall sports, you know, either teams or conferences or something of the like. So it makes sense to make it a division by division decision, just because, you know, it's a different financial and economic decision at the Division III level, the Division II level, and even at the 1AA level, which is why you're already seeing, you know, programs being willing to push it back, to push for spring sports, because it's not as big of a moneymaker to start with. You're not talking about leaving a whole bunch of money on the table. You've already lost a lot because you're not going to be able to have gate receipts to start with. You know, for Division II schools and Division III schools, there's not any cable money whatsoever. And Division I AA, obviously, there's a minimal amount, if there's any. Obviously, a handful of leagues have, you know, deals with some of the smaller cable networks. I mean, you can catch an Ivy League game on like CBS or something like that. And they're obviously, Ivy League was really fast to decide that it wasn't going to play football in the fall. So it makes sense on that level, but I mean, I'm sure that everybody is sort of looking to somebody else to make a decision, and it's ultimately coming down to the conferences to make their own calls with this, but everybody's sort of looking for some guidance for the NCAA, and the NCAA just seems loath to provide any, because I mean, I think, you know, in part because it does understand that everybody's making different decisions, but also everybody's in a different spot. There's some places that might be ready to play right away, and there's a lot of places that are nervous, that a lot of places aren't close to being able to play. So I get it. I get why the NCAA is doing this, but again, you keep looking at this and thinking, man, are we ever going to get an answer? And the fact is, I don't think we are going to get an answer, really have a good idea what's going to happen until it starts happening. It's going to be, and even be similar to baseball, where it's going to start happening and you're going to ask yourself, are we going to get all the way through this? That I think is basically how it's going to be. I think they have to try to give this a shot, to give this the best chance that they can. And, you know, they'll quit whenever it becomes apparent that they have to.
Dustin Dopierak, formerly of The Athletic, my guest. We're talking football and college sports and the craziness going on right now. Before we jump into the Big Ten schedule today and then get into some basketball, I want to just talk generally with you. You know, the NBA bubble, I think, has been so far, maybe knock on wood, impressive. The competition has been great. The players seem to be going at it extremely serious and extremely hard. And most importantly, it seems to be healthy, at least so far. There is testing going on of everybody in the bubble on a very regular basis. Everything is set up with routines. And so far, so good for the NBA. I think we all are very hopeful that they can complete their season in the Orlando bubble. We look at Major League sports, or Major League Baseball, I should say, and I feel quite the opposite. The Marlins outbreak, which affected a few other teams, and now the Cardinals outbreak, which likely has affected others in their league as well, other opponents that they've played. We're just a few weeks in, and we've had two pretty severe outbreaks. The Marlins is definitely a severe outbreak. I wonder if we're going to get through baseball and come to a conclusion, a champion in the league with as many problems as what we've seen so far early into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to what I said before. I mean, like, they're just going to try to grind this thing out and hope that it doesn't turn into, you know, that somebody doesn't get killed, to be totally honest. I think that's sort of the one thing that would shut it down. I think they're looking at it and saying, okay, we've got to expect that there's going to be an outbreak. We've got to expect that there's going to, you know, that we're going to have to cancel some games. But it's worth it to give it a shot. I mean, that's, I think, the way baseball is looking at it. I'm guessing that's the way football is looking at it, because ultimately, you know, the NBA and the NHL were both in position to have a bubble, in part because they had already played much of their seasons. I mean, they didn't have to bring every team, and, you know, not every team has to be there for the duration. You know, that's the other issue too. It's like, there's only, you know, I can't remember when the playoffs start. I think there's maybe a couple more weeks before you get into playoffs, and they're going to obviously eliminate the teams that don't make it, basically. So you get to take a few of those out. If you have that many, if you had 30 teams, basically, and you had to, you know, and 30 baseball teams with, you know, 30 guys on a roster, you know, plus coaches, plus the rest of your travel party, and try to put them all in a bubble. There's no place where that really makes sense. And even the places that are even relatively set up for it, like Arizona and Florida, where they have spring training, that maybe you could find a way to work it. You know, at this stage in the game, it's overwhelmingly hot down there. And you're not talking about places that have, you know, they have, you know, a few ballparks with retractable roofs, but that's it. You know, that's the thing that was going to be really difficult to do. So this is what they have to do to try it. So I don't know if baseball is going to make it through or not. They're going to try. It's going to be a mess. There's going to be issues at the end when it comes to, okay, how many games did everybody play? You know, Marlins are already out, what, 5 or 6 games. The Cardinals are out a bunch. The Phillies, I don't think they even had an outbreak. And just because they were playing in places where other people did, you know, I think they'd only played 3 games by yesterday or something like that, or the other day. So it's going to throw everything off. But I mean, it seems like they're dedicated to trying to make it work. I think the only thing that would cause them to shut it down is if somebody got seriously hospitalized. I don't think they're going to do it based on positive tests. I don't think they're going to do it based on the fact that they have to cancel games. I think they're going to live with that. I think they'd have to have a massive outbreak that would involve maybe, you know, 10 teams or something like that, and completely, you know, destroy the competitive dynamic. Unless I think is the only thing that they would make them cancel it, because they just seem determined to press forward. And I get it, because it's just it's you know, it's hard not to decide not to have a season, and especially, you know, if these guys are at least doing right by themselves outside of the ballpark, if they're just spending, you know, if they're keeping themselves away from older family members and that sort of thing, you know, then, you know, maybe it's less dangerous, it's healthy people, there's a better chance that it resolves without, you know, without major incident. Maybe it's not that dangerous for them necessarily if they're doing the right thing and staying away from high-risk people. And, you know, that might give them a reason to keep pushing on with this thing. But it's tough, and it isn't great. And basically there's no good way to do this for baseball and football, frankly, because a bubble situation just doesn't work for them, and they're just going to try to grind forward and play a season.
Dustin Dopierak is my guest, and I want to get your thoughts, Dustin, on the Big Ten football schedule release, or maybe you could say re-release, that happened a little earlier today. Indiana opens, I had said earlier, September 5th. It's actually September 4th. That's a Friday night opener for the Hoosiers when they take on Wisconsin. But I like the flexibility, 2 bye weeks for each team within the season, and then basically a league-wide bye week that final week of the regular season, which basically gives you 3 opportunities to move things, or if things had to be delayed at the start, you can bump it back considerably, maximum of 3 Saturdays of 3 weekends. This schedule was put together with definitely flexibility in mind. There's some sequencing going on, and I think it's clear to see a lot of thought went into this thing about, okay, how, if we have to cancel, move some things, how are we going to fit it in? And this schedule seems to make a lot of sense from that perspective.
No, absolutely. I think it makes sense to start, instead of pushing the start date back, acting as if, okay, well, maybe this thing will go away if we have 2 more weeks. The more likely scenario is you're going to have to cancel something if you're going to play at all. So I think that does make a lot of sense to do it that way, because I don't think we're going to be in any better shape on September 19th than we will on September 5th. I just don't think there's going to be a drastic change in this thing going away in that stretch. It's a better chance it'll get worse. So it makes sense for them to start a little bit earlier and to get it going, like you said, to create flexibility with the bye weeks. And I think it was, as you mentioned, the end of the year bye week, which goes back to the old, you know, Big Ten rules of not playing after Thanksgiving. They used to not, obviously used to end their season the weekend before, when a lot of other people would play during that weekend. Obviously, that's, they changed that about 10 years ago. That I think is interesting that they've left that open. So it works for 2 reasons. Obviously, like you said, if you have cancellations, you can move something back to then if you have to play it. And it also gives you some flexibility around the Thanksgiving holiday, because that I think is being a tricky thing that people are working with to start with, is deciding whether or not kids should go home for Thanksgiving or how that should work. Because you've already had a lot of schools that decided that they, you know, might have some in-person instruction, but not do it after Thanksgiving because of the fear that people are going to go home and be around their peers, basically be around their families. So you might have some issues. I don't know if they'll keep football players on campus. Maybe they'll send them home. If you're not playing in the championship game, you just go back and see where things go from there. But, you know, one way or another, I think that was an interesting way to also consider that situation and consider Thanksgiving and kind of get a better idea of how they want to handle that. It gives them an opening to be flexible with that as well. It gives schools an opening as well. They don't have a game that they have to play that weekend. So that's interesting. So I'll be intrigued to see what they do with that. But yeah, no, just the general idea makes a lot of sense. And I'll say this. I mean, we got to meet with Kevin Warren a little bit, I think it was in the spring. He came down to Bloomington. He could try to visit every campus and also talk with the media there. And the guy's a serious guy. I mean, he really is. And he cares a lot about a lot of things outside of football. There are some things that he was interested in that he's gotten some, publicity for over the last couple of months, during the pandemic. But he was already kind of out in front of the start with. I mean, he's really into voting rights. He was really into making sure that student athletes care about voting. And that was the case even before George Floyd and all of the, protests that have gone on since. And that was something that was already a priority for him. So he's going to be a guy that's going to take all this stuff seriously. He cares about student athlete welfare. He cares about, student athlete like mental health. That is really a big thing for him. So he was going to be a guy that was going to take this serious and not look at it as, obviously he's got to care about the financial aspect of it because that means opportunity for the athletes. And basically if college sports go away in the Big Ten, lose a lot of opportunity. But he's going to take serious the fact that, okay, the more it looks like you're just trying to get the most out of cheap labor here, the worse you look. So I'm not surprised that he took this seriously. And I think they did a pretty good job as far as the general decisions made with this thing.
Dustin Dopierak is my guest. I got a couple basketball things for you before we get off today. Number one, with all the talk about college football, there are rumblings beginning on, hey, what do you think the basketball season looks like? Is it going to mimic what college football, looks like as far as conference only, if that works out? And we heard from Dan Gavitt in an interview. He's with the NCAA, really the chief over men's basketball. And he said that as of now, November, 12th, 10th, whatever the starting date is for men's basketball, that's still what they were targeting. And I think a lot of people, fans and even maybe some coaches, met that statement with a little bit of, eyes raised. Okay, are we serious here? But don't you think that if football is seriously looking at and basically going to be, in all scenarios I'm aware of, conference only, don't you think that in the winter, whether it's November, December, January, whenever it could start, don't you think we'll be looking at something very similar for basketball if the football deal works out? I just can't believe that we're going to play non-conference games in November.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be really surprised if they played non-conference games in November. I mean, maybe they'll regionalize it, maybe say, okay, you can only go so far. Basically, if you have to have bus trips, and I think that might be the biggest thing, is say, okay, you're not getting on a plane to play a non-conference game. That I think would be the more likely scenario. I could see them still playing non-league games. It doesn't make zero sense to, play some in-state non-conference basketball games. I mean, there's something to be said for that. Indiana should play, Southern Indiana or Evansville or something like that, or start, filling out its conference, maybe change around so that you're staying local and make the schedule work that way, that you're not doing that. I mean, what would I be absolutely blown away to see is Thanksgiving week tournaments. I'd be shocked. I can't honestly imagine that at all. Taking everybody to, and obviously that's creating a bubble situation actually, but there's no way to do that without, the reason the bubble works is you bring everybody there a week beforehand and have them, sit out and get tested all the time and that stuff. So you're not going to be able to do that with college basketball players. So I'd be stunned if any of that happens. I mean, obviously I think what Dan Gavitt's saying and what the NCAA is saying and what college basketball is saying in general is it makes sense for us to sit here and wait this out. It doesn't make sense for us to decide right now that we're not doing X, Y, and Z. Obviously, I'm presuming coaches and athletic directors are being made away here. You might have to change some things with your contracts, as far as non-league games are concerned. Press forward as if you're going to play, but these things might have to change when you're writing up these schedules, writing up these contracts. Make sure that there's an out clause that's really easy and that everybody understands, hey, we're not giving you $100,000 or $200,000 if this game doesn't happen. This is if and only if we end up playing this thing. So I'm sure they're being told be flexible, be ready for this, but I think they're also deciding, hey, you know, let's see if this plays out. You know, let's see if this gets better. Let's hold out hope that it might, because it's going to be a little bit messy. You know, if we have to go conference only, it's going to be a weird thing to put together an NCAA tournament when nobody's playing each other outside of league, and we're just deciding, okay, this league is the best league because we say so. You know, that I think is going to be an interesting thing, figuring out how you do a tournament that way. That's going to be awkward. So it's just like, let's hold out hope. Let's leave open for some possibilities. You know, I think it makes sense to go from there. And I think, like I said, I think they can get away with maybe, you know, staying local and non-conference play. You know, that I think is something that's got, that can still be on the table, because you're ultimately going to have a lot more, you know, local teams that you're going to at least hang with, in football than you are in basketball than you are in football, where, you know, there's only so many, you know, Division One teams in football that you can play locally. There's certainly more Division One basketball teams, and if you, you know, just beat a Division One basketball team by 50, it doesn't matter. It's not that bad. It's, you know, it's a health risk when you're talking about football and talking about kids that are overmatched, where it's not so much in basketball, it's just a game that somebody wins by a bunch. So that I think leaves open for a few more possibilities. But I would be shocked. Again, if you see, you know, big events, if you see big non-conference games where somebody's going cross-country, that I think is highly unlikely. But I think there's a chance that you'll have some level of a non-conference season.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of, I should say formerly of The Athletic, is still kind enough to join us. Dustin, final little topic here. NBA is back. We talked some about the bubble. Been kind of paying attention to what some of the former IU guys are doing and the success they're having. Romeo has not had a lot of playing time since the actual regular season games restarted, but someone that's been playing extremely well, I think he had a 30-point game the other night, if I saw correctly, is Thomas Bryant for Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Thomas, I mean, he's really picked up his game a lot. I mean, he's really became a critical piece for that squad. I mean, I haven't watched a lot really up close, but yeah, no, he's scored a bunch, and I mean, he's a talented kid. You know, he's kind of a guy that you forget about in terms of his contribution to Indiana. But I mean, he was really, really important to that Sweet 16 team. And he's a skilled guy. I mean, it took him a year. I mean, I think the Lakers, he didn't play much. But really, since he's been at Washington, he's been increasingly important for that group. It's been interesting to see a handful of guys have really stepped up in this game in this bubble. And Thomas Bryant definitely has been one of those guys. I mean, he's a guy that can score outside, inside a little bit, you know, make some stuff happen on the block. And I think, you know, Washington's in a weird position. I can't remember how far out they are of the playoffs, or if they're in, it's just sort of the bottom half of it, because that bottom half of the East is kind of rough. He's developing a nice game, basically. And I think he's you definitely can tell that he feels like he belongs. I mean, I think he was a guy that was drafted second round, and he was kicking around for a while, spent a lot of time in the G League early on. But it's a guy that's definitely solidifies his position and definitely matters in that Wizards rotation for sure.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak. Dustin, as always, thanks for the chat, covering a lot of subjects in this crazy time. We'll catch up to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Matt.
All right. Dustin Dopierak with us, and great guy. Glad to have him still with us to talk IU, college basketball, football, and more. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with our final segment. Matt Weaver of Pigs.com is going to help us break down, recap, take a look at Indiana football schedule even in more depth now that the Big Ten Conference released all of that this morning. So more IU football talk and the Big Ten Conference from a football perspective next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program is brought to you each week by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. Matt Weaver is with us of Pigs.com, the football writer for Pigs, because we want to talk more about the IU football schedule and the Big Ten schedule as a whole. And Matt, before we get into how things look for the Hoosiers and your thoughts on the schedule, I really appreciated this morning the honesty from Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, about this fall sports challenge and football season that's coming up. That, yes, here's a new schedule. Yes, we've reworked things with a lot of flexibility in it, but this is no guarantee based on what's happening in the world right now that we have college sports and have football this upcoming year.
Yeah, he's, you know, I mean, in the obviously he's not been the commissioner for long, Kevin Warren, but in the you know, few amount of times that I've been able to, you know, I've never seen him in person, but I've seen him, you know, talk on TV. He is a really impressive guy. I mean, the Big Ten, in my opinion, hit it out of the park with Jim Delaney's replacement here, and you know, for him to walk into what he's had to walk into. I mean, right after he comes in, you have to cancel the Big Ten tournament, and then the NCAA tournament is the NCAA basketball tournament is obviously canceled, and then you have the spring football shut down and everything he's had to deal with. I just think he's handled it fantastic. I think he's very transparent. I think he's very open and honest. He doesn't try to oversell things or undersell things. He just tells it like it is. And right now with what we're going through, I think that's exactly what people need. I mean, you just need to hear where they're at and what their plan is and what they're going to try to do. But nothing's set in stone. Everything's kind of written in pencil. And if they can get it done, they're going to try to get it done. And, you know, but outside circumstances might alter what they want to do. But I think he's done a fabulous job. And I think he's a very, very, you know, bright and intellectual guy and really cares about this conference and these teams. And he's been impressive.
Absolutely. Let's jump into IU's schedule. They'll still open at Wisconsin. That'll take place on Friday, September 4 in the first week of Big Ten play. And then after that, it's a home opener, September 12th against Penn State. Take us through the schedule from your perspective. What are things that stand out to you about difficult games and about maybe a scheduling break that Indiana got in this thing? I'm not sure that there are any breaks in the conference or the Big Ten that the Hoosiers compete, but how do you break this thing down now that we've got a schedule set or reset with the health pandemic going on for this upcoming year?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, we've been talking and there have been reports that maybe they were going to front load the schedule with, you know, for the Eastern teams would play East teams first and then move to the Western Division opponents and vice versa for the teams in the West. They'd start with their teams in their division. But obviously they didn't do that. They left for Indiana. They left Wisconsin at the start of the schedule. And really, that is the only game as far as when it's being played that stayed the same. You know, the opening stretch for Indiana is very tough. I mean, I was watching the Big Ten Network earlier, and the first six opponents for Indiana all went to bowl games last year. They won a combined 60 games in 2019. So it's a tough opener. You know, getting Minnesota on the road is you know, that's a tough matchup. And obviously they lost one of their best players, Rashad Bateman, who's going to opt out and not play this year and just train for the NFL draft. But it's still going to be a tough game. But yeah, the opening stretch is really going to be difficult at Wisconsin, Penn State at home, Illinois, who, you know, you feel pretty good if you're Indiana in that game, but Illinois went to a bowl game and they're up and coming. And you obviously got one of the best teams in the country at Ohio State, a bye week at Minnesota, and then you come home and play Michigan. And then the final four games are much more manageable: Maryland at home, at Rutgers, at Michigan State, and then Purdue at home. The other interesting thing about the schedule, Indiana was supposed to go to Michigan this year and play Michigan State at home. They flip-flopped that. They're now playing Michigan at home, and they're going to Michigan State. You know, without fans in the stands, it's probably not a big deal, but, you know, I think playing at home is going to be easier just because you're familiar with home. You're sleeping in your own bed and all those kind of things. So that might have worked out a little bit for IU as far as a break, but other than that, it's a tough schedule.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Peaks.com, is my guest. I'm seeing some, and I saw this over the commercial break, but it looks like, much like the Pac-12 conference, that we're seeing now Big Ten players, and this says more than 1,000 Big Ten players have joined a call for COVID-19 safety measures from the conference, some of which are already in effect, some of which would go beyond the present protocols that were announced earlier this morning when the Big Ten conference had their unveiling on the Big Ten Network. But I'm just kind of starting to look at this. I'm not sure if you've seen it or not, but really no big surprise. We're starting to see players band together with requests that they have. Some are already going to happen. Some are above and beyond what different conferences have announced they're going to do. And then, like the Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, we're starting to see players in all conferences, not a ton, but a few, opt out of the upcoming season.
Yeah, I did see it. I retweeted it and posted it on our board, and I haven't read everything, but it seems pretty reasonable to me. You know, the Pac-12 one, and I think we're getting to a point where some kind of compensation probably needs to go to the players, whether it be a name, the name, image, likeness deal. You know, I thought a couple of things the Pac-12, and they wanted to split the revenues. I'm not sure that's feasible, you know, the players. But I think a lot of these are things that probably are long overdue for players. Obviously, they're the reason why coaches are making a bunch of money and why there's these huge TV contracts and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the old NCAA way of things is probably, it really is outdated and needs to be tweaked and changed and overhauled. So, but, you know, as far as safety, I don't have a problem. I mean, you look at Indiana, Brady Feeney, a freshman lineman, had to be hospitalized because he was having some breathing issues, and he's still having effects from getting the COVID-19 virus. So, we still don't know what kind of long-term effects this virus has on people. And if I'm a player, I want to make sure I'm in as sterile and safe an environment as possible. So, you know, just glancing over this, it looks to me very reasonable. I think I'm guessing the schools in the Big Ten have already incorporated a lot of what they have here. But there's probably a few things that they would like to have maybe improved or added. So it seems pretty reasonable, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of feedback the schools and the conference give on this.
And Matt, if we can make it to the start of college football in the Big Ten season, the weekend of September 5th. It all starts Thursday night, September 3rd, Ohio State at Illinois. Friday, we know we have September 4th, Indiana at Wisconsin, as we've discussed. And then five Big Ten games on Saturday, September 5th. That would be quite a way to open the season with three consecutive days of Big Ten football.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if we are able to play the season, and knock on wood, we are. I think, you know, while it's going to be a very weird and just incredibly unusual season, I think it's also could be a lot of fun. I mean, the non-conference games, like, you know, especially when you have the big opponents going against each other from different conferences, are obviously very intriguing. But this is going to be, I think it could be a fun season, and hopefully they're able to do it. We'll see. You know, there's got a lot of things got to go right. You got to have a lot of good luck and people doing the right things, college students doing the right things and not, you know, and taking unnecessary risks. It's going to be tough for them. We've talked about that in the past, but hopefully they can. And if they can, I think it'll be a fun season. But, like, you know, it'll be memorable, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, joining us to talk IU football today in this segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Matt, as always, thanks for the great stuff. We'll be checking out all of your content today on this breakdown of IU's football schedule.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, with us. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. They can help you if you're looking to raise money for your team or organization. Let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more at mlshirtco.com. That's another day in the books. Back Thursday with Alex Bozich and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.